Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning Envy Pro Call. Today is June 1st, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting motivitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. First off, very excited next week. We have another guest. I've been trying to get this one, arrange this one for a little while. But some of you may have seen Gary the Water Guy, his YouTube channel. I know there's a lot of people out there that have that use that as a resource, watch some of his videos. They're pretty simple and short and pretty easy to understand. He's got a pretty big library of them. So he is actually going to be our guest next week. So I encourage you to log on to that and for a conversation with Gary, the water guy, the YouTube guru on water treatment. It's kind of going to be kind of interesting to have that conversation. So with that, we're also going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this next week? Or I'm sorry, anything that anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that you learn that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
Hey, Kelly, this is Scott in Alabama.
Hey, Scott in Alabama.
So not a topic for today, but one of the things I would like, if we could do in future calls, is how to present financing. Who, if you could find somebody that's doing financing really well, how to present it, best practices, I would really appreciate that.
That's a great idea. That's a really good topic. Jen, do you have time to make a note of that or Jen, help me remember that one. So, I like that. That's a good one. Yeah. On how
yeah,
to,
I'll write that down.
Yep.
I will write that down. So
and
in
actually,
a couple of weeks, let's plan on that next week because we have Gary, but we will do that in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we could get somebody from Aquafinance or one of the financing companies,
yeah.
Foundation, or one of the one of the financing companies to come on and chat with us a little bit about that too. That would be. But it'd be great to even regardless to talk, to have a conversation about how we present it and stuff like that. So yeah, great idea. Good. Very, very good idea, Scott. So, perfect. Anybody else have anything? So I wanted to, the topic
today.
Jen, go.
Yep. Busy remembering. It's tough. I am going through some of our old some of our presentations that we've done and customizing training for a few of the companies that I'm doing customized training for. And there is a slide that has a golf course on it, and it's the approach analogy. And I love the way that you have used this analogy, and I butcher it. And it's been a long time since I've heard it. Do you remember which slide that is? I think it's a great analogy. The golfing where it looks like somebody's at the hole.
Yeah. Well, basically, just that's kind of talking about how, in order to get a score, an appropriate score, you have to have the complete, basically the complete round, right? Each part of the game. So in the game, you have your approach, in golf, anybody that golfs knows that they have their approach and then they have the short game, right? Which is, chipping and putting. And a lot of people tend to spend a lot of their time on one or the other. So they'll go out to the driving range and they'll hit golf balls and they can get a heck of a drive. They can drive the thing 300 yards but then they get up and they might take them three or four putts, And so the analogy is, you know, in a sales process, if you're, you know, might be really, really good at getting leads and getting referrals and creating business, but not very good closing. You're not very, very good asking for the sale or finishing it up. On the other hand, you might be a really great closer. You might be really good in front of the customer, but your approach is really not good. You know, so you're, you know, may take you a lot of extra strokes to get to the green. You know, so if you spend all your time practicing how you're going to close and what you're going to say when you get to the customer, I mean, that's great. But how do you get in front of the customer? You know, that's, and so that's basically the way I've used that before. It's been a long time since I golfed or used that analogy, so I'm
it came up and I'm just like, gosh, I love that when he talked about it, but I couldn't remember exactly how you did it. So, okay, thank you.
Well, somebody asked me yesterday, oh, we should get together and go golfing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't been golfing in 5 years. So we're pretty close. So, but, yeah, that was it. So, all right, anybody else have anything? Okay, so I wanted to I saw an article that came through, you know, because I'm a bit of a water geek and I read articles about water, and this one was fairly recent, but the EPA has proposed some rule changes in regards to the Consumer Confidence Report, and I thought that this would be some good information for you guys to know and to kind of spread it. Has anybody else heard this or read anything about this and the changes for the Consumer Confidence Report? Anybody aware of these proposed changes that are occurring? So basically, there are seven proposed changes, and they're pretty close. They've got it open for public comment now, but it looks like these are going to go into effect. So this basically is just tightening up the Consumer Confidence Report. Now, there's a couple things in reading this that I was reminded about that I thought was kind of interesting. But so first off, we know that the Safe Drinking Water Act has been around, you know, since early 70s. So that was 1971, I think it was, from the Safe Drinking Water Act, and when it came out. But it was amended. It wasn't the original Safe Drinking Water Act did not require consumer confidence reports. They did not require the municipalities to report. That was something that I don't think I was aware of, or if I was aware of it, I'd forgotten, because as long as I've ever been in the industry, they've been required to report with the consumer confidence reports. Currently, they're required to report by July. So by July for the previous year. Now, I know that there are some municipalities out there that are, it's hard to find them. They're, you know, they sometimes are a couple years behind, but so enforcement has not been super strict, I don't think, especially for smaller municipalities. But generally speaking, by July 1st, you start to see the consumer confidence reports for the previous year become available. That rule for the consumer confidence reports has only been in place since the amendment during the Clinton administration during 1996. They amended the Safe Drinking Water Act to require the consumer confidence reports. So that's kind of interesting. I wasn't really aware of that part. But because, like I said, I've been doing this, you know, 25 years, and it's been within the within that time frame. So, so that's just a little bit from this article that I'm referencing here. This is an article out of from a website called waterworld.com. It says it's been about two decades since the original CCR rule, and since then, lots changed. You know, we have the internet now, the way we communicate, the way we consume information. There's been a lot of changes in the society, so that, you know, it kind of made sense to revamp these things. So in 2012, the EPA finished a periodic review of regulations, finding five areas of improvement that you could have. That was in understandability, the reporting periods, how to notify the public, and certification and delivery of content, and then the rules for electronic delivery. In 2018, there was a Water Infrastructure Act that basically told the EPA that they had to change the CCR rule. And so that required the EPA to make changes to the CCR. So basically the act required the EPA to make CCRs deliver twice a year for community water systems serving 10,000 plus people, make them more readable, clear, and understandable, and available through electronic delivery. And they're supposed to now include information on corrosion efforts and lead action level exceedances. So so they put this together, and now they're coming. So here are the seven actual changes that they're going to that they're proposing to make. So and by the way, these rules will only affect municipalities with over 10,000 homes. And so they're estimating roughly 5,000 municipalities across the country will be impacted by this. The smaller municipalities are still required to report, but they will not be they won't be required to report the twice a year. So currently, systems need to provide CCRs by July 1st of each year containing data during the previous calendar year. The new requirement would mandate a second CCR between July 2nd and December 31st of each year. The second report may require updated data under specific circumstances if the water system has a violation, has an action level exceedance, or has received new results or information. Then its second CCR will need to include updated data collected between January 1st and June 30th. And that, I think, is interesting because there are some CCRs out there that, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you Google Consumer Confidence Report template, you will then begin to understand why pretty much every Consumer Confidence Report across the country reads almost exactly the same. I mean, they all start with a page of almost looks like a marketing brochure. You know, our water is great. We do all this. This is where it comes from. And then they tell where the water comes from, and then they break it down. And you don't get to the reporting until the very, you know, sometimes the thing would be 12 pages long or longer. And it's only the last couple pages that have the actual reports, including any violations that they might have had. And sometimes some municipalities are only required to test for certain things once a year. And there are times, you know, for example, you know, if they're testing in the middle of winter for nitrates, you know, and that might have a different reading than if they're testing for nitrates in April or May or June. I mean, anybody know why that might be different? Why might that be different in a small municipality?
Fertilizer.
See if you guys, yeah, fertilizers, right? Farming, you know, so they having a biannual report will require them to test and to report those tests a little more regularly. So although the truth is a lot of the municipalities, you know, the smaller, because this is only impacting municipalities under 10,000 or over 10,000 people. So a lot of these, you know, farm community wells, the farm communities that have community wells, you know, wouldn't probably be affected by the biannual requirement, but the testing requirements of the format, I believe they would. So, so it gives them more updated data. So, you know, by reporting twice a year, of course, that's going to be a little more challenging for the municipalities because now they've got to put them out. But honestly, looking at the templates and the way they do these things, you can tell that whoever writes these things, for the most part, the language is almost the same. When you look at the template and you look at CCR's consumer confidence reports from all over the country, you can see that it doesn't matter where you pull them up. The language is almost exact. I mean, they clearly use the exact same format for pretty much all of them. So they're also proposing electronic delivery of the consumer confidence reports. So that's allowing community water systems with electronic consumer confidence report delivery options. So that allows systems to use modernized approaches. So you can mail, they can still mail a paper copy of the report. They can mail a notification that the report is available on the website, or they can email a direct link or electronic version of the report. Now, the one thing about this is that if they don't have an email for those homes, then they have to mail it. So they, bottom line, they're still going to at least have to alert the public of some, in some manner. Now, most of them these days, you know, if they have a water bill, they probably have an email address. I mean, it's almost always required at this point. So, but if they don't have emails for the people they're supplying water to, then they have to send it out in a mail to let them know that it's available electronically. Readability and clarity for customers is another change. That rule basically says that it's going to improve the readability or the understandability for customers. The proposed rule would add a requirement for all consumer confidence reports to include a summary of key information at the beginning of the report. So that's going to include any violations or action level exceedances. And then there's, it's going to give the contact information for additional, you know, if somebody wants to learn more. And that one, I'm kind of, I think that's needed. You know, one of the instructors for WQA, one of the requirements, one of the homework requirements for certification is to do a little research, pull up the consumer confidence report, ask them about their lead, you know, their lead policy, you know, how many lead lines they have, stuff like that. And there are people that have a really hard time finding who to call. They don't know where to call. They don't know who to call. And there are people that are not very forthcoming with that information when they do call. It's kind of interesting, you know, that they, especially when there's been violations or anything. And so this rule is going to require that information to be placed at the, you know, right up at the front of that consumer confidence report, allowing people more access to that. They're not burying those violations in the back, if there are any. So the rule would also add new flexibility in how water systems present contaminant data. The CCR requirement for the contaminant data tables would be replaced with contaminant data section, where the contaminant data would still need to be displayed in logical groupings for easier understanding. That wouldn't change what the systems need to report in their CCRs, but how they would present the information. And then the rule would also require systems to include an explanation for any included unregulated contaminant monitoring rule results. So basically they would just have to, you know, and there are, as we have emerging contaminants and things like that, there are unregulated contaminants that they are supposed to be monitoring at certain levels, like PFAS in some instances, or 1,4-dioxane, or those types of things. And so they would have to give more detail about those contaminants. And if water providers are creating documents that are more engaging, more accessible, and provide more information, they're going to have a better relationship with their customers, basically, is the idea. So, and then you have enhanced risk communication. So this one, I think, I love this one. This is a rule that I think is very much needed. It's been something that has annoyed me with certain consumer confidence reports for a really long time. I mean, you guys have heard me say never, ever, ever bash the municipalities. You know, don't go out there and bash them. But at the same token, you see some consumer confidence reports that sometimes kind of blatantly bash our industry as well. You know, it kind of, and I don't really have any say over those, or you know, it's hard to get there. But this rule, the enhanced risk communication, this rule says it would prohibit water systems from including false or misleading statements in their consumer confidence reports. For example, sometimes CCRs state the water is safe, which may not be accurate for certain sensitive customers, such as people with weakened immune systems or similar vulnerabilities. So basically, I mean, that's one of the examples, but basically they're going to be cracking down on the wording or misleading or misrepresentative statements in the consumer confidence reports. I think that one is industry-wide, when it comes to water, that's something that we should be doing. You know, it's already in our industry, you know, Water Quality Association discourages using words like safe or healthy or pure, you know, those types of words, and except in the instances where you have the definitions clarified, you know, very clearly defined on what they mean and what, you know, what the parameters are for those to be met. So then you have the lead level information. That's the proposed rule would add a new CCR requirement for systems with a lead action level exceedance. The rule proposes a requirement for these systems to include information about actions to address the ALE. ALE is the action level exceedance. Systems would also need to include a link to their lead service line inventory. If it's available on a publicly accessible website, lead service line inventories are a requirement of the lead copper rule, and utilities are required to submit completed inventories by October 2024. So basically that's you will get a map of the lines of the water, underground water delivery lines that have lead, potential lead issues with them. And then there's providing translation. So that's making it easier for people. They call it limited English proficiency, or basically people that don't speak English. They're supposed to make it more accessible for those communities to be able to read it. And then the states, this one is another one that I think we're going to see a direct impact with. So currently, municipalities have to report to the state EPAs, but those states do not always have to report all of the data back to the national EPA. So this one is going to require primary agencies to submit compliance monitoring data to the EPA annually for all national primary drinking water regulations. Water systems have already been reporting this data to the respective state or tribal authorities, but the EPA plans to begin collecting this data, making it available to the public and using it for future decision makers making. That, I think, is going to be kind of neat because, you know, right now when you start to look, when you look at some of the contaminant maps, like the one that WQRF has on their website, you know, where you can really narrow down, you do see some certain states that are completely empty for certain contaminants. Like they, you know, it's like, wow, look, there's no contaminant, no PFAS in this state. You know, I'm thinking, is it Nebraska, I think, is one of them? There's one right out west there that is just like, it just looks blank. Like there are no dots on it. Like, oh, how did they avoid any PFAS in their water? It's not because they don't have any PFAS. It's because they haven't reported that. And so that data gets pulled from the federal, you know, from the database, and that information is not there. So this is going to consolidate that information. It's going to make for more accurate mapping. We're going to be able to see those holes filled, those gaps filled in on the data maps. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So I was looking to see when it's open for public comment, which usually lasts like 60 or 90 days for public comment on this stuff. So it's got to be, May 22nd. So that might have been, So the public comments were done. So EPA's, they were done on May 22nd, 2023. So this now, following, you know, there may be slight changes to this following the public comments, but assuming there's nothing dramatic in those comments, that looks like these will be the new EPA adopted rules. Any thoughts on this? So this was an academic call today. It's knowledge, it's education. But what do you guys think? How's this going to affect you? Any thoughts on this? What are your public comments? What would your public comments be if you were going to comment on it? Anybody?
Well, it's good for us because normally there's a spike in calls whenever those water tests are mailed out.
Oh, right. Okay. That's good. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really noticed that, but I wonder if that's a common thing, Scott. I mean, I've not seen a lot of, I've not talked to a lot of dealers that I do get that when they get out there, you know, I've gone out to customers that ask about them. You know, they will have gotten it in the mail or seen it, and they ask me to interpret it. That's why I think it's really important to be aware of your local consumer confidence report and know what it's saying. You don't want to be fumbling around with it, looking, oh, let me look at that. Let me, you know, while you're there in front of the customer, you're supposed to be an expert. But so you get calls when they come out. Does your municipality have violations?
Well, no, but you know, you do have to know how to read it. But you know, sometimes they get it and they don't understand it, or they've heard something and they have it there for you, like when you come out.
Yeah, that I've seen a lot. Yeah, so you know, like I said, they'll hand it to you and want you to kind of decipher it for them. And I think it's really important that we know how to decipher that stuff, that you're familiar with it. Anybody else have any thoughts over it?
A couple of years ago, we had when they basically went out for the area, I had our inside salesperson making phone calls just saying, wanted to let you know, we know you've recently received this. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to set up an appointment with one of our water specialists for you. Now, I don't know how well she's doing it like she should have been, but she got a lot of responses of people like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah.
And it's like, you know, people take, there are so many people out there that still take what's coming out of their tap for granted.
Yeah. Yep, that's very true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get those that are more informed, but there's also a lot of people out there that are clueless.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I have found that if I've got, because I carry a copy with me for the area, and if we're talking drinking water and they got some questions, I'll put that out in front of them and have them look at it and ask them if they have any questions. And then they start seeing that there could be a little bit of arsenic in the water. There could be a little bit of this. It could be a little bit of that. Then they start asking questions. But these, a lot of times people just don't pay attention.
No, the people aren't aware that. I mean, even people in our industry, I've talked to people in our industry who aren't aware that, you know, that this is available, you know, that municipalities are required to send them out. That's true. So any other comments, final thoughts? Well, mark your calendars. Please let people know. You know, when we have our guest speakers on, I like to have as many people on as we can just to welcome them. But Gary the Water Guy next week. And if nobody has anything else, then we will call it a day and say have a great weekend. Stay safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kelly.
Take care.